If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, James chapter 4 and verse 8, as we continue in our series, Living for Jesus. James chapter 4, verse 8, and today I'll use the New King James Version because it's a better translation. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And let's pray. Lord, just thank You so much for Your Word, and I pray, Lord, as we come to this place today that You would just draw us closer to You. I pray just teach us what we need to do, Lord, in order to be closer to You, the closest we've ever been in our entire lives, because we are living in the last days. I pray You'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray You'd open Your Word and teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. Right now, the most famous person in the whole wide world is pop singer Taylor Swift. And for years, she palled around with a bunch of other A-listers that she called her squad. Selena Gomez, Blake Lively, Gigi Hadid, Emma Stone, and others. But what most people don't know, her BFF in the whole wide world is a very unfamous woman named Abigail Adams. Besties since they were both freshmen in high school back in Hendersonville, Tennessee. Taylor Swift's song 15 is about Abigail Adams. She had her appear in some of her music videos and even took her to the Grammy Awards back in 2015. And in turn, Abigail Adams always defends Taylor Swift on social media. She had Taylor Swift as one of her bridesmaids in her wedding. And no matter where they are in the world, they always spend some time together on New Year's Eve. How do you have a personal relationship with the most famous person in the world? You do whatever you need to do to stay close to him. How do you have a personal relationship with the most famous person of all, the Lord Jesus Christ? You do everything you need to do in order to stay close to him. You want to live for Jesus? You got to stay close to Jesus. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us how. We started a series last time here at Fox River, a series called Living for Jesus, looking at what it really means to live for Jesus Christ in these last days before Jesus comes again. Last time we saw that living for Jesus starts with having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And today we see that living for Jesus means maintaining that personal relationship with Jesus Christ and staying close to Him. And to see that, we turn today to James chapter 4 and verse 8. In this part of James chapter 4, James is telling us about a real relationship with the Lord. And in our text today, he tells us in order to maintain that relationship, you need to stay close to Him. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, in these last days, in that relationship, Jesus will be just as close to you as you are to Him. Our text this morning, James chapter 4, verse 8, tells us three very simple things that we need to do to stay close to Jesus Christ. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to stay close to Jesus, we need to read the Bible. And that's exactly what James is telling us here in verse 8. Draw close to God by reading the Word. And notice that word draw is a command, which means you've got to do it because God ain't going to do it for you. Folks, we've got to be intentional about this because you cannot live for Jesus. You cannot maintain a personal relationship with Jesus by sitting on the couch, eating flaming hot Cheetos and scrolling on your phone. You want to be close to the God of the Word, you got to get into the Word of God. We got to read the Bible, people. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 19. Read the Bible every day. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. Meditate on it day and night. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved. And then Psalm chapter 85, verse 8, you will hear when the Lord will speak. So every time you read the Bible, God speaks to you, which is why they call it the Word of God. Am I going too fast for anybody? And not only that, God not only speaks to you, He will meet with you here. Jesus said, John chapter 5, verse 39, the Scriptures all testify about Him. So every time you read this Bible, it takes you, it gets you to Jesus. So Jesus isn't just way out there. Jesus is also right here. You get into the Word of God, the God of the Word gets into you. You got to read the Bible. There is no way in the world that we can have a personal relationship with somebody that we never meet with. And you can do that with Jesus right here. The more you get of this, the more you get of Him. The closer you get to this, the closer you are to Him. We've got to read the Word. Back in 1997, Deion Sanders, who called himself Primetime, such an incredible athlete, he played both pro football and pro baseball. Won two Super Bowls and also played in the World Series. 1997, he'd just become a father. He just recorded a rap CD worth gazillions of dollars, had the world by the tail. But he was also going through a divorce, and his life was so empty. One day, August of 1997, Neon Deion Sanders purposely drove his car over a cliff to kill himself. But as that car was plunging over the side, he heard a voice saying, "Seek me and live, seek me and live." And Deion Sanders cried out to Jesus. Car was completely totaled, even caught on fire. But get this, Deion Sanders not only walked away from that crash, not only started, he didn't have one scratch anywhere in his entire body. This is what Deion Sanders said. "When I went over that cliff at that second, I just cried out to Jesus and he spoke to me. And even more than that, he was with me right there in that word that he gave me, and it saved my life." Jesus said, John chapter 6, verse 63, "My words are spirit and they are life," which means when you read the Bible by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus gives you life. So read the Bible, people, like your ever-loving life depends on it, because it does. Now, the world today doesn't accept the Bible at all. Got this note last September, and this is pretty typical. "Pastor Garner, how can you be so stupid to believe the Bible? I can't believe in a book that says the earth is flat and that says that the sun revolves around the earth," Psalm 19, verses 4 through 6. The Bible doesn't say any of that. The Bible doesn't say that the earth is flat. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 22 says the earth is a sphere. It's a globe. And that was written 300 years after Aristotle thought maybe the earth might be a globe. 300 years before. The Bible doesn't talk about the earth or the sun revolving around anything. Psalm chapter 19 verses 4 through 6 just tells us what it looks like the sun is doing from our perspective. We still say today that the sun sets and the sun rises, even though we know the earth actually revolves around the sun instead of the other way around. People don't reject the Bible because they can't believe it. They reject the Bible because they won't believe it. A woman named Greta Gerwig, who wrote the script for the Barbie movie, said this, "I created the Barbie movie to strike back against the oppressive patriarchal system that was forced on women by the Bible in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And to give people a model of how men should really be submitting to women." So much for the Bible. Amazon's now running a cartoon that makes the devil to be the hero in the Garden of Eden. Today you can get the queer Bible that takes out all references to LGBTQ. Or you can get the green Bible that says you can go to heaven by hugging a tree. And God says the people who wrote that claptrap will go to hell for changing his word. 98% of teenagers in Generation Z today have never read one verse of Scripture. You know what else is true about Generation Z? They're the loneliest, the most depressed, the most alcoholic, the most drug addicted, and the most suicidal generation in the history of this country. Gee, do you think maybe there's a connection? We've got to read the Bible, folks. So let me ask you, you've got a plan for reading through the Bible? 3 minutes a day, you can read the New Testament in a year. 12 minutes a day, you can read the whole Bible in here. You say, "Well, Kevin, I don't have time." The average adult in America is now spending 3 hours and 13 minutes on their phone in non-work activity. You mean to tell me you'd rather spend time trying to get 3 hot tamales in a row on Candy Crush than read the Word of God? I think I'm preaching now. And what's the Bible really all about? Back when I was in the first grade, 7 years old, I had a first grade 7-year-old girlfriend named Lori Lau. And one day she loved me so much she wrote me a love letter, and I got it with me today. You say, "Kevin, isn't that kind of creepy for a grown man to still have a love letter from 54 years ago?" Listen to me, if you'd gotten as few love letters from girls as I had in your life, you'd hold on to every one of them too. And she wrote the cover in red crayon, which meant she was really serious about this. This is what she says. "Dear Honey," she misspelled honey, so it says Honey. "Dear Honey, I love you more than any boy I've loved. Do you love me?" And you know what? As simple as that message is, that is exactly what you find in the Bible. Because this Bible is God's love letter to you. And in this Bible, God says, "I love you more than you can ever imagine. And I put my son, Jesus Christ, on a cross to prove it to you. Now, do you love me?" So Christians, listen to me. You're not deplorables like Hillary Clinton says. You're not semi-fascist like Joe Biden says. You're not fat, ugly, and stupid like Instagram says. You're not going to hell because you looked at porn or had an abortion like the devil says. You are loved with an everlasting love because that's exactly what God says. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3. That's the truth. That's the truth of the Bible. That's the truth of Jesus Christ. And in these last days, we've got to be as close to Jesus and standing on this truth as much as we possibly can, like nobody's business. Even with that, everybody and their brother today that doesn't know the Bible is quoting Leviticus 19, 33 and 34 and claiming because of that we need to take in every Tom, Dick and Harry alien that comes across the southern border into the United States. Barack Obama said this, the Bible tells us in Leviticus 19, 33 and 34, we're supposed to welcome any and all aliens in our country with open arms, no questions asked. Really? Now the problem is, all the different English versions of the Bible translate that word alien in different ways. King James Version has stranger. RSV has sojourner. New Living Translation has foreigner. But the only thing that matters is what that word alien meant to the Holy Spirit when He originally gave it to Moses. There's three biblical Hebrew words in the Old Testament that mean alien or immigrant. Nakar, Zar, and Ger. And of those three, Ger is the only one that means a foreigner who comes into your country, who becomes a legal citizen, and becomes really a part of your people. And guess what? That is exactly the word that's used in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. So what the Bible is telling us, what that verse is saying, the only kind of alien that the Israelites were obligated by God to take in as their own were the Ger, the legal citizens. Because the Israelites were Ger in Egypt. When there was famine in Canaan, the Israelites moved to Egypt, became legal citizens, and even had their mail delivered there. Moses was a legal citizen of Egypt. He even named one of his sons Ger Shem. And the Bible tells us that the Ger in Israel were called by God to not only become legal citizens, but become part of God's people and believe in the God of the Bible and follow God's laws and celebrate the festival. In other words, they were supposed to assimilate. Imagine that. Ruth chapter 1 verse 16, your God will be my God and your people will be my people. And that's not just God's plan for marriage, that's God's plan for immigration and assimilation too. Acts chapter 17 verse 26 says national borders were God's idea. So every country has a God-given right and responsibility to protect those borders by determining who gets to come into the country and who doesn't and why. So the Bible says the only aliens who should be allowed to immigrate here are the ones who want to become legal citizens and assimilate and believe in God and live by our founding principles. That's what the Bible says about immigration. But the problem is, the powers that be in America today blow off what the Bible says about immigration, and because of that, it is absolutely destroying our country. Immigration law specifically says asylum seekers are supposed to be people who are really fleeing real persecution in their own country. But today, the Biden administration is calling all illegals asylum seekers. So our border agents are nothing but greeters at Walmart, letting everybody in, no matter who they are, from all over the world, very little vetting at all. Come one, come all. And I'm not saying that all illegals are criminals, but a lot of them are. Like 28-year-old convicted murderer Ronaldo Cortez, who came to the United States illegally last August, went to Hartford, Connecticut, and killed Ashley Banfield and her 10-year-old daughter Brittany by cutting their heads off. Murdered by a monster who shouldn't even have been in this country to start with. You see the illegal who came from Iran into the United States a couple of weeks ago across the southern border? Listen to what he says when a reporter asks him.
If you are smart enough, you will know who I am. But you are really not smart enough to know who I am. But soon you're going to know who I am.
Okay. Soon everybody will know who I am. Gee, I wonder what he meant by that. Last Tuesday, 80 illegals beat the tar out of two New York City police officers. They were arrested and all let go with no charges whatsoever. You say, well, Kevin, illegals, they're just undocumented immigrants. Folks, if they're undocumented immigrants, then drug dealers are undocumented pharmacists. This is crazy. 180,000 Americans being killed by fentanyl every year coming through the southern border. Illegal aliens swamping every major city in this country. Chicago is even hiding them at O'Hare Airport behind curtains so nobody can see them. Illegal aliens come to America, they get free cash payments, free phones, clothes, food, housing, transportation, medical care, free abortions, free sex change operations at the cost of billions and billions of dollars to American taxpayers. In 62 years of Ellis Island, this country took in 12 million aliens. In just 3 years under Joe Biden, it's 10 million. 10 million and counting. And the Biden administration isn't just allowing, they're facilitating it. Folks, no country in the history of the whole wide world ever had an open borders policy like this. No country in the history of the whole wide world ever purposely allowed millions of people from foreign countries to come here and swamp this country. This is criminal insanity. This is treason. And why is it happening? Why is it going on? It's very simple. For power. You can't get enough American citizens to vote for you. We'll just import people who will. So this isn't an invasion. This is an importation. Importing millions and millions of Democratic voters to keep the left in power forever. And the left just keeps pulling out Americans' heartstrings. Oh, you don't like aliens. You just don't like brown people. You're racist. You're not a good Christian if you're against this. That's not what the Bible says. People, letting people into your country for God knows what, from God knows where, is not what the Bible says. It's exactly opposite of what the Bible says. So listen to me. I don't care who you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what country you're from. I don't care if you're purple with green polka dots from the dark side of the moon. If you want to come into this country and become GER, become a legal citizen, assimilate, follow the God of the Bible that this country was founded on and our founding principles, welcome home. But if you don't want to come into this country the right way, you want to come here for the wrong things, hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. And that doesn't come from nativism. It doesn't come from xenophobia. It doesn't come from racism. It comes from the Bible. Read the Bible, America. Amen. Get back to the God of the Bible and a relationship with the God of the Bible like your very national life depends on it. Because it does. The first thing we need to do in order to stay close to the Lord, we need to read the Bible. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do in order to stay close to Jesus. We need to pray. Not only read the Bible, but pray. We draw close to the Lord in prayer because Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 7 says, you cry out to God. God comes close to us. We can be close to Him. You can't have a personal relationship with somebody that you never talk to. And read the Bible, God talks to us. We pray, we talk to God. Girls have a spot in the part of the brain called the nucleus accumbens that lights up when they talk to friends. And it's the same spot in the same part of the brain that lights up in the brain of a crank addict when they're high on cocaine. Now, what does that tell you? So girls have a physiological need that guys don't have to talk to friends. Because two guys could hang out all the live long day and never say boo to each other. Not all people have a physiological need to talk to other people. But all of us, every single one of us has a spiritual need to talk to God. Pray. Prayer and Bible reading are what's called the spiritual disciplines. Things you purposely need to do in order to stay close to the Lord. Because if you're not moving forward in God and staying close to Him, you're moving backward. You're backsliding. Just like them. All the pop singers today who started out their lives walking with Jesus. Today they're in the Twilight Zone. Justin Timberlake started out singing in his dad's choir at a Baptist church when he was 6 years old. John Legend started singing in church when he was 4. Britney Spears started her musical career singing solos in church in Kentwood, Louisiana when she was 3. Katy Perry, Katie Hudson. Both parents were Pentecostal preachers. She started her musical career with a gospel CD when she was 17 years old. Look at where she's at now. Miley Cyrus started singing at church talent shows when she was 4 years old. Today, she's as pagan as a Swahili witch doctor. Backslid. Walked away from God. Billy Graham said 90% of all the souls that he won during his crusades, his entire career, 90% eventually walked away and turned their back on God. There's people that I've led to Christ right up here in the front of this church over the last 3 years. Today they're nowhere to be found. Backslidden. They're gone. They walked away. And why? Because somewhere along the line, they made a decision they weren't going to stay close to the Lord. somehow, for some reason, they made a decision they weren't going to read the Bible anymore. They weren't going to pray anymore. And another one bites the dust. A praying man stops sinning. A sinning man stops praying. We got to pray. You say, but Kevin, I don't have time to pray. You don't have time to pray. You make time to pray. Well, Kevin, I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to work, then get up at 5:30 in the morning for the Lord, and then go to work after. You don't want to pray in the morning? Pray at night. The only way to do it wrong is to not do it at all. Pray. You say, well, Kevin, do we have to pray? No, but you're stupid if you don't. Do we have to pray? No, not if you don't want to do anything for the Lord. This woman right here, Christy Bebar, she's a nurse. Last week, she saved the life of an unborn baby from abortion. And not only that, led the pregnant mom to saving faith in Christ. Amen. And do you know why she had the power to do that? Because that woman right there goes to a Bible study. And she prays. Nobody sees it because that's part of the life that she has that's hidden with Christ and God. She spends time with the Lord. Why do you have the power to do ministry? Because you play like you practice. Christians, listen to me. More than anything else, the devil wants to get you to stop praying. Because your prayer is his kryptonite. Last December in Philadelphia, two women were walking home from church carrying their Bibles when all of a sudden a scooter pulled up and a thug jumped off and tried to steal their purses. And then this happened. Started speaking the word over him and laying hands on him and praying. And holy come to Jesus moment, people. That guy got down on his knees and raised his hands and repented and asked for forgiveness. James chapter 4 verse 7, pray and rebuke the devil and he will flee from you. No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. Pray. When you're scared, pray. When you're depressed, pray. When everything seems lost, pray. When you feel hopeless, pray. When the doctor says the cancer's come back, pray. When your husband asks you for a divorce, pray. When the devil tells you to kill yourself, pray. When your daughter tells you that she's trans, pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Pray without ceasing. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. Pray. Because it's in prayer where you really get to know who God is. You say, well, Kevin, why doesn't God answer a lot of my prayers right away? Because he's not a Pez dispenser. He's a person. And a lot of times God holds off answering our prayers to teach us how to trust him and how to depend on him and to build that relationship with us. Because prayer isn't supposed to change God. Prayer is supposed to change you and me. And prayer is not just a monologue. It's a dialogue. Not just us talking to him, because a lot of times we can hear from God. He speaks to us too when we pray. Now the problem is the devil talks to us too. And a lot of times we mix up the voices. So when God says, I saw that, I'm going to get you for that. You got 1 hour. You're going to go to hell for that. That's not God saying that to you. That's the devil saying that to you. The devil has no future. So he wants to dwell on the past, and he wants to dwell on your sin in the past. Jesus is constantly telling you, come on, let's go, let's get up out of there. Let's go because I've got something for you in the future. But I'm no good, Lord, I'm no good. Ain't none of us any good. That's why Jesus died on the cross. But Lord, I got all kinds of issues. Every single one of us got issues, more issues than a magazine stand. Jesus said, come on, get up, let's go. Lord, I can't believe I did. I just can't believe I did something like that. God says, yes, you did it. But see, Jesus can fix it. God, I've fallen and I can't get up. Yes, you can. You may not be what you ought to be, but you're sure better than you used to be. God says, come on, get up. Let's go. Let's leave this place in the past with all the shame and the guilt and the regret and the condemnation. And let's go forward to a future that will absolutely blow your mind. God leads us forward and takes us forward in prayer. We've got to pray. And in these last days, we need to pray for Jesus to come. Because all the signs are there, folks. Time is short. Time is short. October of 2019, Dr. Fauci, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Johns Hopkins, and all the globalist elites had an event called Event 201, a global pandemic exercise where they simulated what would happen if a deadly virus caused a pandemic all over the world. And then 2 months after that, funny thing, COVID-19 was released on the planet and all hell broke loose. But what most people don't realize, 1 year before that, May of 2018, the exact same New World Order people held a global pandemic exercise called Clade X, where they simulated what would happen if an unknown disease that they called Disease X caused a pandemic all over the world. And get this, the person who started Clade X was one of the co-founders of Microsoft, a man named Dustin Moskovitz, who's tied also to the Wellcome Trust. The Wellcome Trust is the company that made the drug AZT that Dr. Fauci used to kill 250,000 AIDS patients in the 1980s and the 1990s. Gee, do you think maybe Clade X has a vested interest in causing another pandemic all over the world that they can find a drug for to depopulate the planet? You say, well, Kevin, why didn't Disease X come before COVID-19? I'll tell you why. Because COVID-19 was just the trial run. The COVID pandemic was the trial run for the bigger one that's coming. Disease X. Because even though gain-of-function research to weaponize viruses is against international law, whistleblower Dr. John Campbell from England says scientists all over the world right now are doing gain-of-function research like crazy to purposely weaponize a deadly virus. And even though they haven't developed it yet, they are trying for a virus with a kill rate of at least 80%. They're doing this on purpose, folks. My God, you talk about evil. And everybody from the United Nations to Dr. Fauci are screaming the Disease X panic porn. So last June, Congress pushed the Disease X Act of 2023 to give gazillions of your tax dollars to the WHO whenever the World Health Organization says the Disease X pandemic is here. This coming May the 20th, the WHO is set to pass the Global Pandemic Treaty, where all the countries of the world surrender all the rights and freedoms of their citizens and all their national sovereignty to the WHO whenever they say Disease X is here, essentially creating a one-world government. And Joe Biden says absolutely he will sign it. The World Economic Forum at their annual meeting in Davos last month sounded the alarm about Disease X, knowing if they scare people enough, they will submit to the WEF dictatorship with everything from forced lockdowns to global biometric surveillance systems and, of course, a mandatory vaccine for Disease X. But the question is, how can they have a vaccine if they don't even know yet what the exact virus is that people are supposed to be vaccinated for? I'll tell you why. Because it's not about the virus. It's only about the vaccine, just like it was for COVID. Folks, the people who did this to us before are just about to do it all again. We need to pray. We need to pray because everything about Disease X is pointing to the fact this world really is in the last days. The Bible says in the last days the Antichrist will rule over the entire planet with a one-world government and a one-world system. Just exactly like the World Health Organization and the United Nations is pushing for and calling for. Revelation chapter 9 verse 18 says, in the great tribulation, an unknown plague will kill one-third of the population of planet Earth. An unknown plague. In algebra, X is the symbol for the unknown. Unknown disease, disease X. Just exactly like the Bible says. Folks, X all through the Bible is a sign of the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 to 18. The Antichrist will use the mark of the beast to control the one world government and the one world economy. The mark of the beast, the word mark in Greek is charagma. It starts with the Greek letter X. The number of the beast is 666. That word 666 in the Greek is chixastigma. It starts with the Greek letter X. We know that the Antichrist is close because we see X popping up all over the place today. X Factor, Xfinity, SpaceX, Elon Musk renamed Twitter X. And what does he have Twitter doing? It's taken over the entire economy of the entire world, just exactly like the Bible says the Antichrist will do in the last days. X marks the spot, people. We need to pray. We need to pray because everything that's necessary for this Disease X pandemic to come is already in place. Remember Bill Gates' quantum dot vaccine system that he invented over 3 years ago? That injects nanoparticles under your skin, nanoparticles that are connected to the internet and can exchange digital currency that the Antichrist is going to... Do you know that Bill Gates patented that vaccine system before the pandemic even started. You don't think this whole thing was planned from the beginning? And do you know what the patent number was for that vaccine system? W02020606066666. The official name for that vaccine system is the implantable quantum dot microneedle vaccine delivery system. Do you know what you get when you add up all the numerical values of those name, number letters in that name? I kid you not, 666. And it uses luciferase, a chemical called luciferase, people, to make the nanoparticles glow so things from the outside can locate them and scan them so Big Brother can control your every move. Every single thing about that vaccine system screams the devil. You say, but okay, Kevin, we never saw that quantum dot vaccine system used during COVID. We never saw that used during the COVID pandemic. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because Bill Gates did not invent that for the COVID pandemic. He invented it for the next one. For disease X, that he knows is coming. My guess, probably around August, September, October, right in time for the 2024 election. People, don't tell me we are not this close to the coming of the Great Tribulation and the coming of the Antichrist. X marks the spot. So watch and pray. Jesus said, what do? We watch and pray, because right now we are living in a time that the Bible calls the beginning of sorrows. And what does the beginning of sorrows end with? It ends with the rapture of the church. That's the next thing on the prophetic calendar. Jesus said, Luke 21:36, watch and pray that you might be able to escape all that is about to happen on the earth. That escape is the rapture. The way out is up. So pray. Christians, the most important prayer we need to be praying in these last days is to stay close to Christ. Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus. Second thing we need to do in order to stay close to Jesus, we need to pray. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to stay close to Jesus. We not only need to read the Bible, we not only need to pray, we need to go to church. And that's also what James is telling us here in verse 8. Go to church. Because Jesus said, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. You go to church, God shows up, you meet with him, and you get close to him. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, do not neglect the assembling together of the saints. But the problem is, folks, everybody and their brother today is neglecting that like you would not believe. One out of three Christians stopped going to church altogether after the lockdown. Only 29% of people in America who even call themselves Christians ever go to church on a Sunday morning anymore. Half of all Christians in America don't go to church 3 out of 4 Sundays a month. 1 out of 6 Christians leaves their church every year. I could go on and on. The church in America is dying, people, because folks just ain't going. They're not even going to the good churches anymore. 42 years of ministry, I've heard every excuse there is for missing church. Here's some actual excuses that people have used to get out of going to church. I was just there last week. I didn't go to church because there's no good-looking girls there. I work for the government, so I have to honor separation of church and state. I saw who was going to be singing special music. The pastor preaches too long, and the other church in town always beats us to the KFC buffet. And here's my favorite. I was on my way to church, but then I looked on my phone and it said no service, so I went back home. Kevin, I'm too tired on Sunday morning. Then go to bed earlier on Saturday night. I guarantee you get more sleep than I do, and I'm still here on Sunday morning. But Kevin, my kids don't want to go to church. So what? You're not bigger than they are? What if your kids don't want to go to school tomorrow? You going to let them stay home from that? Parents, do you honestly let your children make the most important spiritual decisions for your entire family? Wow. Just wow. Parents, the problem isn't with your kids. The problem is with you. Well, Kevin, it's wintertime. The roads were kind of bad with snow, and I just couldn't make it there. You made it to Walmart. You made it to the NFL watch party at your friend's house. I saw the pictures on Facebook. Well, Kevin, you don't need to go to church to be saved. I don't need to go home this afternoon to be married to my wife, Sue, either. But see, the longer I stay away, the harder it's going to be for me to have a relationship with her. Get the point? Because the more you miss church, the less you'll miss church. People do an online church today. Now, if you're sick, if you're disabled, if you don't have a church at the moment, absolutely, that's fine. But online church isn't really church. This guy here, he could do online church. Stay home in his PJs every Sunday. Refill his coffee, mute the preacher whenever he wants to. But he doesn't do that. He's here every Sunday morning, working the crowd in a way like I have never seen anybody do that before in my life. And do you know why he does that? It's because he gets it. He doesn't just go to church. He doesn't just attend church. He doesn't just do church. He realizes he is the church. Doing ministry to other members of the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, which you can't do if you are home on your couch all by yourself. So suck it up, get your butt out of bed, put your pants on, and go to church. And it's not because we need your money, and some Sundays we even need your seat. This is for you, not for us. Go to church! You realize what a blessing church really is? Any idea? Studies show that the people who go to church live longer than the people who don't. And if you go to Fox River Church and listen to Kevin Garner's sermons, it'll even seem longer. Here's the numbers on how many people in America and where they die when they die. 48% of Americans die in a hospital. 44% of Americans who die, die at home or in a nursing home. 2.6% of Americans die in their yard. 1.9% die in their car. 0.04% of Americans die in a store. But only 0.00012% of people die in church. So what's the message? You don't want to die, go to church. Church is absolutely the safest place you can be on the entire face of the earth. Go to church. Have any idea what a blessing church really is? Here at Fox River, we've got white people, we've got black people, we've got Hispanic, we've got Asian, we've got Filipino, we've got Native Americans, we've got Eastern Europeans. You want diversity and inclusion, it's right here. February is Black History Month. Here's what Morgan Freeman said about Black History Month and racism.
Black History Month you find
ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month?
Well,
come on. Tell me.
Well, I'm Jewish.
Okay. Which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh. Why not?
Yeah.
You want one?
No.
I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism?
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman. You understand what I know this white guy named Mike Wallace. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
We don't talk about race here at Fox River. We don't call people black or white. We just call people here brother or sister. Because all are one in Christ Jesus, no matter what color they are. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. We realize what a blessing this church is and how critical this is for some people in this congregation. There's people in this congregation right now going through a divorce, the worst time in their entire life. There's people here right now who are scared to death because they are fighting cancer to stay alive. There's people here who are hurting big time because their kids have walked away from the Lord. This place is their harbor in the storm. There are people in this congregation, the only friends they have in the whole wide world are right here. Their real family is right here because their own family thinks they're nuts for being Christians and treats them like lepers. There's people in this congregation, the only place they go in their entire lives where there are other believers who believe what they do, who are other Christians, is right here in this church on a Sunday morning. There's people in this congregation, the only place that they go to in their entire lives where they're not beat down and made fun of and picked on and bullied and intimidated and called a freak and a loser is right here. Got this letter just last week. Dear Pastor Kevin Garner, I have been coming to Fox River Lutheran Church for services and Sunday school for the past few years with over an hour commute each way. I recently moved out of state and can no longer attend, but traveled back to Illinois to be there last weekend, and I feel blessed to have been able to be there. I need to let you know how impactful you have been in my life. Your church outreach has touched many lives, including mine. I grew up in a cult church that had a lot of sexual perversion in it. I left and never went to any church due to the abuses and evil I had experienced there. I am sharing this now to let you know that your church is the very first church I have ever been able to attend since I left that cult back when I was a teenager. I am now in my 50s and want to sincerely thank you for Fox River Lutheran Church. I also want to let you know how powerful this has been in restoring my faith in God and getting me back to church. I am so grateful for all of you. God bless you. Go to church. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, especially as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? He's talking about the last days that we are in right now. We need to be more into church than ever because of the fact that time is short. It's short. And all the signs are there. Last week, the United States Securities and Exchange Commission officially approved for the very first time, the use of cryptocurrency and digital currency in the United States. What the Antichrist is going to use along with the mark of the beast to control the one world economy. Revelation 13, 16 to 18. People, it's here. Last week, the very first human being got one of those Elon Musk Neuralink microchips implanted in their brain. One step closer to the mark of the beast. One step closer to the mind control. One more bridge from the time we're in now, the church age, to the coming great tribulation. Daniel 11:37 says when the Antichrist comes, he will come under the rainbow banner and the colors of the pride flag. We see that right now. The entire world coming together under the LGBTQ pride flag. 2 weeks ago, an artist in Spain came up with a picture of a half-naked gay fembot Jesus, and we Christians are supposed to use that to celebrate Holy Week. My gosh, people, the evil. Reuters tells us that 40% of Americans now, almost half the people in this country, believe that a man can honestly trans and turn into a woman. Propaganda works. Actress Anne Hathaway, in a speech to the Human Rights Campaign, said last week, the goal of the left is to destroy heterosexuality, to destroy men and women getting married to each other and raising children. She said they're going to destroy that world and replace it with a rainbow world where the devil runs wild. You talk about an enemy. Church has never been more important than it is right now. More than ever before, you have got to get your butt in a church, a good church that preaches the word and stands for the truth and holds you accountable and helps you conquer the enemy. And the good news is that is exactly what God has specifically designed and created the church to do. The biggest, baddest enemy of the Japanese honeybee is a great Japanese hornet, about 3 times bigger. That hornet shows up at that honeybee nest. It starts using its mandibles to kill bees by biting their heads off. And then it takes the bee bodies back to the hornet nest to feed the hornet larva. So that giant hornet doesn't just kill the bees, it eats them alive. But even worse, that first hornet at the nest acts like a scout and marks that hive with a special scent so other giant hornets can come to that beehive. And then when 2 or 3 hornets show up, they start slaughtering bees right and left. One giant Japanese hornet can kill 14 bees a minute. 20 to 30 hornets can wipe out an entire beehive, 30,000 bees, in less than an hour. But the good news is, God especially created and designed these Japanese honeybees with an incredible way to defend themselves and fight off the enemy. So when that great hornet shows up at the beehive, 100 worker bees, the bee security team, meets that hornet right there at the entrance. And then those bees start doing something to purposely annoy that hornet and tick him off. They start doing this very peculiar dance where they raise their abdomen and shake their booty. And then the bees dive down into the hive. And the hornet follows them madder than a snort. But what those bees are really doing are waylaying that hornet in a pre-planned attack. Because just inside the entrance to the hive, about 1,000 worker bees are just waiting for the hornet. And when he gets close enough, about 500 of the bees jump him and wrap him up in a ball of honeybees about the size of your fist, so tight he can't move or use his mandibles. They get as close as they can to the hornet, and then they start vibrating their muscles and their wings. The vibrations cause the temperature around the hornet to rise, and in a few minutes, it heats up to 117 degrees. God designed the bees to survive temperatures up to 120 degrees, but the hornet can only tolerate heat up to 115 degrees. So after 2 or 3 minutes, all the bees literally cook that hornet to death. The hornet dies, and the bees survive. This is what it looks like.
Because Japanese honeybees co-evolved with hornets, they've found a way to fight back by forming a hot defensive bee ball, which has been seen in videos circulating in Japan.
Once the hornet worker enters the hive, they'll rush it as a mass, kind of clamp onto it with their mandibles, and then just through their own metabolism will raise the temperature and actually flood it with carbon dioxide.
Notice, any one of those honeybees on their own would be dead meat. But when they come and work together, they can kill giants. Every one of them having a function, everyone doing their job, everyone fulfilling their calling. To protect the hive. There's strength in numbers, people. And you know what? That's exactly how God designed the church to operate too. The Bible tells us our biggest, baddest enemy is the devil, who comes to steal and kill and destroy and eat us alive too. John chapter 10, verse 10. And even worse, once the devil attacks, he brings other demon spirits along with him to try to wipe us out and destroy us too. And I hate to tell you this, church, but you better grab your ankles, because in these last days we are going to be attacked like you would not believe, even worse than we are right now. But the good news is, God especially designed and created this church with an incredible way of fighting off our enemies too. And Fox River, you've done it. This church started in 1839, 185 years ago. And in those 185 years, Fox River has survived a civil war, 2 world wars, and 30 years of Kevin Garner. This church has survived rogue elders, staff members doing coup attempts, curses put on us by witches and devil worshipers, crazy people showing up at our front door, Muslims who come in here to try to claim this property for Islam, thugs who tried to build a strip club in the corner of 52 and 71. Heaven's sakes, January 2020, the devil like has not set fire to the men's bathroom out there to burn the whole place down. We survived COVID. We survived the lockdown. A stupid leftist woke governor who said that every single one of you was non-essential. We survived death threats. We've survived all kinds of false allegations, hate mail, slams, criticism. And guess what, Fox River? We are still here. We are still here. In spite of it all, we are still here preaching the word, standing on the promises, and calling people to salvation in Jesus Christ, because there is strength in numbers. Whoa. Now, any one of us on our own, we are dead meat. But when we come together and stay close to the Lord and trust in His Word and pray like crazy, everybody doing their job, everybody fulfilling their function, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. God will put all of our enemies under our feet, and the gates of hell cannot and will not prevail against this church. So help us God. But you know what? That only happens for people who are close to the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2. And all the happy, clappy, seeker-sensitive pastors will never give you this verse, but I will, because I've never been accused of being happy, clappy. And it's true. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2. If you seek God, if you draw near to Him, you will find Him. He will draw near to you. But, if you reject Him, if you walk away from Him, He will reject you. Oh, He'll try. He'll try to keep drawing you back. He'll try to get you away from that distraction that pulled you away from the Lord. He'll keep calling your name. He'll keep calling you over and over and over again. But what this verse is telling you is what? There's a limit to God's patience. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, the Spirit of God will not always strive with men. He will call and call and call and call. And come a time you don't respond, He'll quit calling. And He'll move on to somebody else who might respond. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You're here today because you're going through the motions. You're not serious about this. You're here to please somebody else. You had a relationship with Christ. Well, you walked away. You're just checking the box. You're just doing your duty. The Spirit of God is speaking to you right now and calling you back to Jesus Christ. Calling you. Listen to me. You don't get an unlimited number of opportunities to come to Jesus. You don't get an unlimited number of times and chances to come to Christ. You can only come to Him or come back to Him when He calls. Amen. And right now, He's calling you, isn't He? Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. because you have no idea he's ever going to call you again. You are hearing God's voice speaking to you right now in a way you've never heard it before. Today you need to respond. After the service is over, you get up out of your seat, you come to the front of this church and you pray and you get right with the Lord. There are people listening to this sermon right now. This is your last call. You will never hear God speak to you again. This is your last call. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how far away you've wandered away from God. Today, if you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you and welcome you with open arms. But notice what this verse says. You draw near to Him, then He will draw near to you. You got to make the first move. Why? Because Jesus isn't the one that moved. You did. You make that first move. You get out of your seat. You come to the front of this church. If you're not saved, you give your heart and your life and your soul to Jesus Christ for the first time. You already are a Christian. You rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. You draw near to Him. He'll draw near to you. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You so much for Your Word. And I just thank You, Lord, for the grace and mercy and forgiveness that You offer. Lord, I don't care who anybody is. Lord, You will reach out to them. You're calling to them today, right now. Lord, the sin doesn't matter. The disobedience, the straying doesn't matter. And what matters is what they're going to do about it right now. Just pray for one person here, a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl who needs to come to Jesus for the first time or come back to Jesus. Lord, that You would make that happen today. Trust, Lord, that You're working by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Accomplish, Lord, Your will. All these things we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.